This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Truly a tale of two halves in this one, even though that's probably a really overused phrase, as the Rockets looked really dominant in the first half against the Brooklyn Nets and then faded into obscurity in the second half, ultimately falling 120 to 108. What is up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and the Athletic's Ali Kambijani each week live to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Now, at the start, maybe a minute into this game, not even a minute, right? It was whenever Daniel House Jr. scored his second bucket. So, I guess a minute or two in, whatever it was. And Rockets were up, and I'm thinking, I had this feeling, this weird feeling that the Rockets were going to be, strangely competitive in this game. That the Nets weren't just going to walk out and, clobber the Rockets. And lo and behold, that's pretty much what happened. Not the Nets clobbering the Rockets. Obviously, they kind of took over the game in the second half. But the Rockets looked really, really good for the first, two quarters of this game. I'll say, maybe two and a half quarters. That third quarter was a little hit or miss. And the Nets really started to pick up steam in that second half. But there was so much to take away from this one. So many great elite moments from this game. Can we talk for just a moment about the fact that Kevin Porter Jr. bodied James Harden for an and-one layup? He had a great first half. Now, he, again, had a pretty quiet second half. But overall, from this game, just to set the scene, right? So, no John Wall in this game, who's got, fluid buildup in his knee, which means more than likely, I'm kind of just sitting here counting the days until John Wall decides to receive the knee scope that was reported that he plans on getting, because ultimately, if John Wall gets the knee scope done, it opens up the door for significantly more minutes for Kevin Porter Jr., and it allows him to really steer the ship, and so he'll have opportunities to sink and to swim like he did in this game, because, man, did Kevin Porter Jr. swim in the first half, and did he sink in the second half? And so we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show, but no John Wall for the Rockets, still no Kevin Durant for Brooklyn, and James Harden actually left this game early with some hamstring tightness just before it was announced, tail end of the third quarter. I'm not sure when it was actually realized that he wouldn't come back into the game. So no James Harden. He left early in this one, but didn't quite matter because Kyrie Irving was playing like a man possessed in this game. Kyrie finished the night 31 points, 12 of 25 shooting, 3 of 8 from downtown, 4 of 4 from the charity stripe, had 12 dimes, 6 rebounds, had a steal. Kyrie Irving was playing like this was his team, which is crazy that you can point to the third fiddle on the Brooklyn Nets and say, yep, he's that good. But legitimately, he had some wildly spectacular, one-on-three, one-on-four plays in this game. Just completely took over in the second half. Rockets just didn't really have an answer for him, unfortunately. But as for the Rockets, throughout this game, they started strong. They had the 42-point first quarter, getting out of the gates with a lot of gusto. Daniel House Jr. was huge, scoring the Rockets' first 9 points in this game. He was out there balling for sure. So the Rockets take a 42-29 lead after one, but then they slowly just started to fade after that. They had that one really strong quarter, and then they just couldn't continue putting it together offensively. Only 26 points in the second quarter, which is still respectable, and then 19 in the third and only 21 in the fourth and final frame. Now, Kevin Porter Jr., who finished the game with 20 points and 6 assists, had 14 points and 4 assists at halftime. So Kevin Porter Jr. had himself a really great half, but then just, again, kind of didn't quite have it in the second half. And it's not to say, like, I want to save my Kevin Porter Jr. thoughts for the second segment, because I don't want to dive into him too much right now. But, you know, he finished the game 20 points, six assists, 2 rebounds, 9 of 16 shooting, 2 of 6 from behind the three-point line, and overall really solid performance from him. And then Christian Wood, who we'll actually hear from, because he had some words, some thoughts about his performance in this game, kind of shouldering the blame, so to speak, for this loss. He had 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, had 3 blocks, doing a little bit of everything, but not as efficient offensively as we're used to seeing from him. Just 4 of 12 shooting in this game, 1 of 5 from behind the three-point line. He did get to the free throw line a little bit in this one, went there 6 times, hit 5 of them. But he wasn't super pleased with his performance in this game specifically. And I'll let him kind of discuss his play, and we'll hear from him in just a moment. But then off the bench, we also had Kelly Olynyk with 14 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. His three-point shooting woes continue after his first outing, going 4 of 6 as a Rocket. He went 0 of 5 in the Grizzlies game, and he went 0 of 2 in this game. So the three-point shooting, as David Ramil of Locked On Heat warned, he would have one great three-point shooting game and then continue to struggle. So now it's looking like that prophecy is being fulfilled, unfortunately. And we also had DJ Augustine off the bench, 11 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 3 of 5 shooting, who, again, he continues to be a very steadying factor for this Rockets team. Really, really pleased with the addition of DJ Augustine, because it honestly means that if they do decide, to move on from John Wall this offseason, if they're able to find a suitor for his ridiculous Supermax contract, they still have a veteran presence, on the roster to kind of help mentor and tutor Kevin Porter Jr. as he continues to grow and mold, and just really establish himself as, a premier guard in the NBA, which I think we all believe he's more than capable of becoming. James Harden in this one, before he left the game due to the hamstring tightness, 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 of 10 shooting, missed all 3 of his three-pointers, but was 7 of 7 at the free throw line. Got a little chippy at one point with Avery Bradley as the two were kind of barking back and forth a little bit. And I had that, kind of like, I don't want to say PTSD flashback, because we weren't on the receiving end of it, but all those times where a player starts kind of chirping at James Harden, and usually Harden, right, that quiet kind of reserved personality, he'll start talking back, and then he'll let his play do the talking, right, where it's like, okay, you poked the bear, and now he's going to dominate and take over the game. Didn't get to see that because of the hamstring tightness and because he wasn't in the game down the stretch, but didn't really appreciate Avery Bradley, trying to, I don't know if he was trying to motivate himself or what. Look, I know that Bradley, was once an elite wing defender, and still is. I mean, but, in this game, Bradley was playing some decent defense, but he missed all 5 of his three-pointers, was taking some, really ill-advised long twos, like dribbling into long twos, and I don't really want to see a whole lot of Avery Bradley. I don't like that Avery Bradley's minutes were taking away minutes from guys like KJ Martin or potentially even DJ Wilson a little bit further down the line. Honestly, man, I might have been more okay with Ben McLemore minutes over Avery Bradley minutes. Like, I like the addition of Kelly Olynyk. I we'll talk more about him and the fact that we did get to see him and Christian Wood play alongside each other in this game. But, Avery Bradley hasn't super impressed me so far. And, I don't know if him getting minutes is necessarily the right move at this point in time for this team. But with that, I want to talk about Kevin Porter Jr. coming up, talk about his first half, what I liked, what I didn't like from him. And we'll get there after a quick message from Sony Podcasts. Excited to tell you about a new podcast I think you're really going to love called Death at the Wing. It's a sports documentary podcast hosted by Adam McKay, writer and director of The Big Short, Vice, and Anchorman. 1980s basketball saw players like Magic Johnson and Dr. J becoming household names, bringing a faster and flashier style of play that captivated TV audiences. But along that way to wealth and stardom, the excess of the 80s took its toll on the next generation of basketball, and never in the history of any sport have we seen so many who were ready to become stars face tragic deaths in such a short time frame. McKay is joined by sports journalists and experts who lived through these moments in history to explore this overlooked phenomenon and the web of social, political, and cultural forces at play. If you loved The Last Dance or 30 for 30, I think you're going to love Death at the Wing. Search for Death at the Wing wherever you get your podcasts to start listening now. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news that you need in just under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. And by the way, I used to ask all the time. It used to be like a built-in part of my show, and I don't ever do it anymore. But if you enjoy this podcast, do me a huge favor, right? Drop a review, leave 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. That'd be super dope for you. I'd really appreciate it. It's how we, continue to get awesome sponsors like Built Bar, like Locker Room, like Bet Online for this show so that we can keep the show rolling strong every single day, 5 days of the week. But let's go ahead and dive into. So Kevin Porter Jr. in this one, I was largely impressed, obviously, with his first half play. It really felt like he had his confidence, the wind beneath his wings, right? It almost felt very akin to the duel between James Harden and Kevin Porter Jr. that we saw last season when he still played for the Cleveland Cavaliers and when James Harden was still a Houston Rocket. Tears, sadness. No, but legitimately, it kind of felt like the game was trending that way. And, that moment, obviously, where Kevin Porter Jr. drove it in on James Harden, not really bodying him, so to speak, but, he finished through contact, got the and one, finished off the play, was great. And then, a few possessions later, we saw Kevin Porter Jr. just explode past Harden again for an easy 2 at the bucket. So, James Harden, obviously, we've watched him for 8 years. We understand that he struggles with, those twitchier, those more, explosive, smaller guards. And that's exactly what was on display in the possessions where KPJ was matched up with Harden, defensively. Harden couldn't hang with KPJ, just couldn't do it. So that had to have felt great, right, for Kevin Porter Jr. to be going up against the guy that he models his game after, that he is, had no reservation saying, I try to copy or emulate James Harden in the way that I play, to be able to go up against him again and have this opportunity to, to give him buckets, basically, must have felt great. But in that second half, the Nets defense kind of tightened up a little bit more, and the Rockets just went from being lights out in the first half, where I had their half splits over here. So the first half, the Rockets shot 60% from the floor and 47.4% from behind the arc. That's unbelievable, and it's also largely unsustainable, as we saw. They took the 68-57 lead into halftime, 11-point lead over the Nets because they had these ridiculous shooting numbers. And then the second half rolls around, and just for a frame of reference, right, the Nets in the first half shot just 47.7% from the floor and only 22.2% from behind the arc. So the Nets were definitely struggling in that first half. And again, I said it was a tale of two halves because in the second half for the Rockets, they shot under 40% from the floor, just 39.5%, and only 19% from behind the three-point line, just 4 of 21. Those are not winning numbers. The Nets, however, managed to shoot 50% from the floor and 50% from behind the three-point line in the second half. So they scored 63 points in the second half to just 40 by the Rockets. Just a complete flip of the halves, right? The Nets remembered how to shoot the basketball. The Rockets forgot how to shoot the basketball. And that was pretty much it. Now, there were some, you know, some defensive components here and there. Do want to talk about the Christian Wood, Kelly Olynyk aspect of this game, as well as some of the defensive looks that we did see from the Rockets. But with Kevin Porter Jr., it really felt like he kind of, I don't know, there were stretches in this game, right, where he has, you know, he has the keys to the offense, right? Like, when John Wall is not out there, it's him. Like, he's the guy. And it felt like there were stretches at the tail end of this game where he wasn't ready for the big moment, right? Where he kind of like tried to get his move going, or he tried to, you know, initiate the primary action of the offense, and then like it wasn't there, or he didn't quite beat his man off the dribble. So then he's just very complacent when it comes to resetting and like kicking the ball to somebody else, right? It's not like, and you know, I don't know if it's not that he doesn't, I'm not going to sit here and say that he doesn't have like the Mamba mentality or whatever, right? That he's not able to take over games. It's way too early for that. But he is still just a second year player, right? And he's now been thrust into this system where he's got, you know, an immense weight upon his shoulders, this expectation of him to turn into a premier guard in the league. He's got all the talent, he's got the tools for sure, but it's about turning it into, you know, something tangible. And, you know, these stretches at the tail end of the game where, you know, he would kind of start one of his moves or try to break down the defense and it just wasn't there. So he just, you know, kind of willingly kicks the ball to one of his teammates and just kind of expects one of them to come up with something at the tail end of the game. You know, that's that area where he needs to grow in, where he needs to realize, no, it's him. Like, it kind of starts and stops with him. Or it starts and stops with at least him and Christian Wood, right? So, like, you know, get the two of them running pick and roll together down the stretch and, you know, clear out the floor. Have them on the strong side. Have everybody else lined up on the weak side. You know, three shooters lined up over there and see exactly what happens. Or, you know, or do the you know, 1-3 alignment where you have, you know, one shooter off in one corner, two shooters on the side, and have Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. lined up in the middle, right? You know, doing the high pick and roll type situation to try and maybe get him going, you know, with a full head of steam, get him rolling downhill, whatever it may be. But to me, he just, in this game, it felt like he was a little bit too complacent down the stretch to just, okay, I tried, okay, your turn. Like, you know, somebody else needs to step up and try and, you know, do this. And that's where Steven Silas decided to run his full-blown starting lineup at the end of this game. And so that was Kevin Porter Jr., Sterling Brown, Daniel House Jr., Jayshon Tate, and Christian Wood. And I really would have liked to see DJ Augustine out there, like, legitimately. And I think that's because DJ can both be a spot-up shooter. He's shooting close to 40% as a Rocket from behind the arc. So he can be a spot up shooter, but he can also be that safety valve for Kevin Porter Jr., right? Because it felt like, you know, without another primary playmaker out there alongside Kevin Porter Jr., without Wall, without Augustine, it really felt like the offense kind of struggled in that fourth quarter significantly. Like I want to pull up the fourth quarter numbers. Can I pull my range filter on here? Here we go. Yeah. Okay. Come on, work with me here. Range filter, where are we at? There it goes. Hang on. It's almost there. Come on, crank it down a little bit more. Okay. All right, there we go. All right, we're good enough now. Yeah, final 4 minutes of the game, right? So final 4 minutes of the game, the Rockets shot 3 of 7, just 1 of 4 from behind the arc. They only had 2 assists. They scored 7 points. Like, it just, you know, things felt pretty clunky out there in the absence of another playmaker. And I think that was just, you know, kind of end of the game vibes, you know, potentially kind of getting to Kevin Porter Jr. So I'd like to see DJ Augustine out there, you know, and maybe, here's where I'm at. Here's where my conflicted interest comes from is I want Kevin Porter Jr. to have opportunities like this to sink, right? Like, if you put a safety net out there, if you give him the training wheels of like John Wall or DJ Augustine at the end of these tight games, then maybe he doesn't get that opportunity to realize it's him or it's nothing. And because you know you can't put the ball in the hands of Daniel House Jr. or Sterling Brown at the tail end of this game and say, all right, you know, go create points for us. I mean, you can a little bit, but that's not the end goal, right? That's not the developmental aspect of what we want to see out of these games. We want to see Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood be the dynamic duo down the stretch of these games and either take over the game or lose the game if they just don't have it. And they just didn't have it in this one, unfortunately. So that's where I'm torn, because it would have been nice to get this win, especially against the Brooklyn Nets, especially because it's against James Harden, right? This could have been one of those really great motivational wins that you tally another win in the win column, yeah, which means you're slightly further away from the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes. But from a mental, emotional standpoint, it could have done wonders for this team to be able to, you know, kind of pump their fists and say, yeah, we beat the Nets. Yeah, we beat James Harden, you know, after all that BS he put us through at the start of the year, right? That kind of situation. So they didn't get that, you know, that moral victory out of this game. But I do want to talk about the kind of Twin Towers dynamic that we saw between Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk, the legacy of bigs in action. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. And speaking of full swing, today is MLB opening day. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. So head over to their website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Another quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar on the market, because it's not even like a real protein bar. It's basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. It's low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, the best tasting protein bar you will ever try. But now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is Built Bar Madness, and we are down to the championship bracket, bringing us head-to-head cookie dough chunk with my personal favorite, the absolute goat protein bar, coconut brownie chunk. So you know what to do. Go to builtbar.com or go to @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. If you vote for cookie dough chunk, you're dead to me. I'm kidding. Vote for the one that you want to vote for, but I think it's coconut brownie chunk. Like, it, you just can't go wrong with it. It's such a great protein bar. I love them. I've got two boxes of them sitting over here. I can see them on my counter from right over here. And when you're at their website, when you're casting your vote, remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of delicious tasting protein bars. Again, that's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order at BuiltBar.com. And be sure to check back to see who won this final matchup and who will actually be the best tasting protein bar above all the other ones. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Discussing the Rockets 120-108 loss on the road against the Brooklyn Nets, now dropping the team to 13-34 on the season, just 7-17 on the road. The Nets improved to 33-15 on the season, 19-6 at home. So let's talk Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk here. And actually, I'll tell you what, before we talk Christian Wood, Kelly Olynyk, let's hear what Christian Wood had to say about this game, from his standpoint, from his, you know, his mentality about this loss.
The first three quarters, if you look, we played great. We moved the ball. We attacked switches. We get the post up on the switches. And then in the fourth quarter, we kind of get stagnant. And you know, if I want to be that franchise guy, that leader that I know I can be, I have to, you know, lead my team in the fourth. I have to be better. Whether it's commanding the ball or being better on defensive end, I feel like I played terrible in the fourth quarter. I feel like this loss was on me. So I'll take that one and I'll be better next game. I felt like I only shot the ball three times. I should have commanded the ball down the stretch, whether it was when I was setting screens and rolling and getting Joe Harris or Kyrie on me or whatever that switch little guy was, and passing out of that of that post up when they double team like I did in the first three quarters. I think I just have to do a better job of that.
Again, Christian Wood discussing his thoughts on the outcome of this game. And you, first off, you love to hear that, right? That mentality that Christian Wood is you know, has on display in regards to, you know, he's the franchise guy. And, you know, I think that's the first time we've heard him say that. And it's great because it kind of illustrates that he is embracing this role. He's embracing this team. And, you know, he could have been pouty about it, right? He could have been, you know, pouty, oh, we don't have enough help. We don't, you know, there's not enough support, you know, injuries, right? He could have done any number of one of those, you know, there's a million excuses in the book that he could have thrown out. But instead, he was like, it's on me. Like, I need to be better. You know, I'm the franchise guy. I need to be better, and I'm going to be better. And, like, to hear that, to have a player like Christian Wood embrace this franchise after all of the turbulence that this team has gone through. Look, he's here for two more years. We've had a lot of discussions about, like, what these next 2 years are going to look like for the Rockets. Is Christian Wood going to want to be here long term? And I think that, you know, the organization is in a really prime spot to get things turned around, to have this be a location that he wants to sign with and stay with for the long term. And look, I want Christian Wood here long term. I really do. You know, I've thrown out some hypotheticals, you know, would you trade Christian Wood for XYZ? Obviously, we don't know what things are going to look like, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. And so you always have to keep your mind open to the possibilities out there, because as much as I love Christian Wood, he hasn't quite reached that untradeable level yet, but he's close. He's so insanely close to being untradeable as far as being one of the only untradeable assets that the Rockets have. And, you know, I'm excited to see what types of strides he makes in his game this offseason, how he comes back. Hopefully he bulks up a little bit more, strengthens those ankles, doesn't miss a significant portion of next season, all of the above, right? But in this one, we finally got a look at Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk sharing the floor, and it didn't go so great. The Rockets, they shared the floor for 12 minutes. The Rockets were minus 23 in those 12 minutes that they shared the floor. Now, my immediate reaction to this is, this isn't strictly because it's not going to work letting them share the floor. My reaction to this is, it doesn't work when they're sharing the floor against a team that is playing small. And, like, there were stretches where they were sharing the floor and the tallest guy for the Nets was Jeff Green or, like, Blake Griffin. And that would be, like, the only legitimate, like, matchup possibility for them. And then it forced, like, you know, Kelly Olynyk to guard, you know, Blake or Jeff Green. And then it would, you know, slot Christian Wood in on one of their, like, wing players. And it also didn't help that the Rockets, you know, past the first quarter were definitely struggling offensively, you know, and mightily so. So that part didn't help this dynamic at all. Kelly Olynyk, you know, continuing to struggle, shooting the ball from behind the arc was not great. So I don't think it's necessarily, like, oh, we tried it once, we're never doing it again. I just didn't like necessarily using it in this matchup against the players that the Brooklyn Nets had on the court. There were definitely some possessions where they struggled to get back in transition, and guys like Joe Harris were getting wide open looks due to defensive breakdowns in transition. I remember, like, a very specific one where Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood both kind of, I don't know if there was a confusion, and it kind of looked like they were maybe lining up for a zone originally, but I think it was actually just a breakdown, and Kelly and Christian kind of wound up tagging the same man, and it left Joe Harris completely wide open on the perimeter. And, you know, Christian Wood tried to kind of lunge out at him as he took the shot, but he nailed a wide open three. And it's, you know, those types of breakdowns where, first off, the team has not had any practice time, so that sucks. And, you know, when they've got Kelly and Christian out there on the court, right, if they're not running a zone, okay, what, you know, who's checking who, right? Especially if there's, you know, two guards, two wings, and a big on the floor, who's the guy that's checking one of the wing players, right? And so I think that's something that is going to get better over time and something that they're going to be able to work on. I do still really like the idea of them on the court together. I want to see it in action a few more times, potentially against some bigger teams rather than, again, a team that is playing small like the Nets were playing in this one. But, you know, past that, past the, you know, the Twin Towers dynamic of Christian Wood and Kelly Olynyk, you know, drop in a couple other highlights from this game. Who else do we have in here who did, you know, who did some solid work? I mean, Sterling Brown has continued to be kind of that under the radar impressive presence for the Rockets. You know, I firmly really want him back next season, but he had 11 points, 4 of 8 shooting, 3 of 7 from behind the arc. Didn't do much of anything else in this game. Only had 1 rebound, didn't have any assists, didn't have any steals. But he only played 31 minutes in this game. Again, not super pleased with Avery Bradley's performance. Would like to see more minutes for KJ Martin Jr. because when he's out there, he impacts the game on both ends. He had 3 offensive rebounds in this game. Like, you know, we went from having Jayshon Tate and David Nwaba being monsters on the offensive glass to now having Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin Jr. Sorry, KJ Martin. Just KJ Martin. Not KJ Martin Jr. That's redundant. To having KJ Martin, you know, being a monster on the offensive glass as well. So again, I don't like that Avery Bradley's minutes are potentially taking away from some of the run that, you know, KJ Martin Jr. could be. God, I did it again. I'm so all over the place. That KJ could be receiving in these games, because again, he's part of that young core, just like Kevin Porter Jr., just like Christian Wood, just like Jayshon Tate. And I'd like to see him get more than 16 minutes of run off the bench, because again, he impacts the game defensively. He's got a great defensive awareness when it comes to trying to help kind of keep things locked down in the paint, being that weak side shot blocker. And then offensively, he's constantly crashing the glass. His three-point shot has actually looked better as of late. He didn't attempt a three in this one, but it feels like he's really, you know, worked on that, you know, to get it to a point where it's maybe respectable is too generous. But I don't immediately think he's just going to clank a three every time he shoots one now. And he's also not hesitant with shooting threes. And that's something I highlighted, I think, last week, was with both Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin, is they're both so confident in their three-point shot now, which is a far cry from what it looked like earlier this season, where the two of them would be very hesitant shooting those threes. They would, you know, pass up wide open looks in favor of driving in to the teeth of the defense to the detriment of the offensive possession. Because look, if you have a wide open 3-point shot, you have to take it. You can't pass up wide open 3-point looks in today's NBA. You just can't. So I want to see more minutes from him moving forward. And again, I'm still on the fence about whether or not those, you know, lineups at the end of the game, if they need to have, you know, a veteran guy out there. Obviously, if John Wall is playing, he'll be out there in the closing lineup. So that kind of answers that question. But moving forward, right, you know, if John Wall, when John Wall gets the knee scope that he's going to get, you know, when he gets inevitably shut down for the remainder of the season, which I'm sure is going to happen sooner rather than later, you know, does DJ Augustine belong in those closing lineups alongside Kevin Porter Jr. to kind of give him that helping hand offensively? Or should Kevin Porter Jr. just be, you know, be the guy? Should he be the guy who's steering the offense and that's it, and not have that safety net below him to catch him if he stumbles? That's kind of where I'm torn right now. And obviously it'll be something that we explore in detail moving forward. But the other area, one other last-minute thought from this game, and you know, something that I was really impressed with, is felt like we saw a lot more zone in this game than the Rockets have utilized before. And it really felt like it worked for certain stretches. And then obviously they had, you know, Captain Zone Buster Joe Harris playing on the other side, who shot 7 of 12 from behind the three-point line, finished the game with 28 points, which is just absurd. But there were stretches of this game where they legitimately were utilizing the zone the proper way. And it's nice to be able to see Steven Silas having the guys throw different defensive looks out there to try and confound the opposing team. And just, again, kind of experimenting with stuff, right? You know, obviously he was experimenting, wanted to see what Kelly Olynyk and Christian Wood looked like out there together. I think that, you know, lineup wise, he probably shouldn't have done it this game, or should have done it significantly less in this game, or you know, chosen his spots a little bit better to have them lined up. But overall, he's just experimenting with lineups, right? He's trying to see what he has, what the dynamics look like, you know, what Christian Wood looks like playing alongside another big. Shout out Evan Mobley, who could potentially become a Houston Rocket, right? Maybe that's what they're trying to figure out. How does Christian Wood look playing alongside another stretch big? And, you know, how would the Mobley pairing look? I don't know, right? They're just experimenting at this point. This was kind of, oh, and here's my biggest takeaway, right? This was a win-win situation. Look, if they win this game, great. It's a great motivational victory. They can pat themselves on the back, say, we beat the Nets. Hell yeah. You know, bottom three team in the league, beating one of the top three teams in the league. Awesome. Great job. You know, motivational win, moral victory, W. Or, on the other hand, they lose this game and they're one game closer to drafting Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley or Jalen Suggs, right? So, like, it's a win-win for the Rockets when they go up against these top-tier teams because they're the underdogs. They're not expected to win. So, and they've got this brutal schedule ahead of them. They've got the toughest strength of schedule for the remaining part of the NBA season. And, you know, the deck is stacked against them. So, it's not a true blue tank. It's just an organic tank, which that's the terminology that I threw around for so much of the early part of the season, was the Rockets are not going to intentionally tank these games, right? If they could have won this game, they would have done it. The Nets just out-talented them in the second half. They shot better than them. They played better D. They were just the better team. And that's almost perfect for the Rockets, right? They get in, you know, a few quarters of really good basketball, and then they lose the game. And so now they're closer to Cade Cunningham, closer to a top prospect from this year's draft, which means it brings us to our Tankathon moment, which we're going to do a Tankathon spin. I still, you know, Tankathon, his vocal cords are damaged from the last time that I aired him on the show. So I don't have him available this time, but that's okay because we can still spin this wheel and check these numbers. So let's go ahead and see what our lottery chances are in today's episode. Ooh, okay. Rockets were sitting at the number two pick. They fell to the number three overall pick. Detroit jumped up a spot to the number two overall pick. And Chicago jumped up seven spots to the number one overall pick, which is a little ridiculous, all things considered. So that's, I mean, hey, third overall pick, that means you're either getting Jalen Suggs or Evan Mobley, depends on what Chicago and Detroit decide to do with their first two picks. So that's a win in my book from the Tankathon Draft Simulator. And with that, that is going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.